All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Intern and the Expert podcast. We have a very special episode today. As always, I am one half of your hosts, Byron Luckhart. And today I am joined by my work colleague.
I'm Ruth Lilly. Thank you, Byron. And I'm General Manager for Channel Marketing, which means I get the pleasure of looking after the business operations and processes and our people as well, so including Byron.
Especially me.
So, it's great to be here.
And, yes, so no Susan, we're switching it up. And whilst we're switching it up, we also have two guests with us today, very special guests that came down from Hunted Recruitment. We have, do you want to introduce yourself, Jess?
I'm Jessica Mays. I'm Director of Hunted Recruit.
And Ellie?
Yeah, I'm Ellie Caesar and I'm Property Director at Hunted Recruit.
Very cool. So we got, two guests, different hosts.
That's right.
Let's roll.
Thanks for having us, guys. We're excited.
I think we're excited too because this gives us a great chance to kind of expose probably a little talked about, element or segment to the property industry, but which is though so important because it's a major part of our supply chain and making sure we're getting the right people in the industry and getting the right exposure. So it's exciting.
And I thought it was a very special and like one that really fits with what we kind of go for with trying to
inspire.
Yeah, get stories for younger professionals in the industry and stuff. And you guys, I mean, specifically help them, which we'll find out. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun a little bit. Jess, do you want to tell us a little bit about Hunted and maybe, I don't know, what sets you guys apart from?
Yeah, sounds good. So we are a recruitment agency that specialises in property. So we've got a couple of different sectors that we look after. One being residential and commercial real estate. We've got property development, which is what our lovely superstar Ellie focuses in on here.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. We do strata management and just generally property. So a little bit of construction.
We do it all.
That's very cool. And I think it's, you guys would be helping a lot of younger intern kind of people that were like me. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
So what I want to know is take us back a little bit to the beginning. How did you kind of, what did you do in school or what kind of led you up to, getting to this sort of point? What were you studying coming out of school or whatever?
Nothing, actually.
Nothing? All right. Well, that's cool, hey.
I hated school. I couldn't wait to finish my year 12. So, and it was down in Canberra. Don't judge me.
That's thriving metropolis.
After school, I dabbled in a bit of hospitality, as a lot of younger people do.
Been there.
Not really knowing what I wanted to do. I just knew that I wanted to earn a lot of money.
That's good ambition.
From there, my first full-time role was actually in real estate. So,
okay, nice.
Just a little admin sort of reception role.
Okay.
So I fell into that when I was probably about 19. Okay. So pretty young.
How did you fall into that?
It was actually a contact through one of my ex-boyfriends that got me an interview and I got the job.
Yep. So
But real estate was always something that I was, I knew that I had an interest in. I sort of always had a bit of a dream to end up doing sales or something like that. But obviously being that young, a lot of people just don't really know what they want to do. So and that was me. So I just,
I can relate.
I literally went
straight into it. I was like, what do you want to do? No clue. Bachelor of Business, started it, dropped out. But hey, we're here now. So
yeah, exactly.
Happy days.
Yeah.
So after you did the admin, did you move into a real estate role?
I did a little bit in strata management, and then I got pulled across to property management.
Can you tell us what strata management is? I think some people that might be like me,
Yeah,
probably
sure.
Want to know.
I'll give a bit of a basic knowledge of what it is. Every single building has a strata management body corporate.
Okay.
Very same thing.
Yeah.
And it's basically all common property within a building. So, you know, whether that's the lifts or and it could be residential, commercial, retail, it could be the gardens, the facilities within the building.
Right.
And yeah, body corporate looks after all of that. So budgeting, making sure the building is compliant, you know, maintained, all of that.
Okay. Mm. Cool. Yeah. There you go. There you go for all the young people.
So moved into that. I hit a point where I was living in Canberra and I wanted more. So decided to pick up and move to the sunny state of Brisbane.
Very nice. Very nice.
And yeah, I was 21 at the time, so quite young. And I'd never actually been to Brisbane before. So just decided to pick
roll
up
the
and,
dice.
Yeah, roll
what,
the dice.
What was the attraction? Then? Why Brisbane?
Sydney was too close to Canberra, Melbourne was too cold, Perth was too far away.
Process
so there wasn't
of
really many. Yeah, it was a process of elimination. So, and we always used to holiday to Gold Coast, family holidays, that sort of thing. So I knew that I loved the hot weather and decided to give it a go. It was really my only option at the time. I saw it as my only option. So.
Did you kind of just wing it and go, or did you like go with like?
Yep,
friends?
Packed the car. Yeah, like, didn't have very much.
Yeah,
drove up there with my now husband, and started looking at rental properties. We did a little trip prior, and then secured something and just picked up and moved. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it was scary, but
21,
it was
21. That's cool.
First time out of home.
Yeah.
And yeah, landed the first job I landed was in recruitment. Okay. I was looking at either real estate. I was looking at either real estate or recruitment, and yes, landed my first role with Gough Recruitment.
Okay. And what kind of recruitment do they do? It's not
property and real estate.
Is it property? Yeah, fair enough.
So I actually saw the ad advertised and it was a recruiter for real estate. So I thought, I've done real estate, similar skill set, so I'll give it a shot. And landed the job. So
okay, cool. And then when did you meet Zara? I think we might get to
so
that.
that was at Gough.
Exactly.
So and that's where I also met Ellie as well.
Yeah,
a bit later on in the piece.
Just so everyone knows, Zara works with us, and she's who connect us with the lovely Jess. So yeah,
thank you, Zara.
Just backstory. Thank you, Zara, for setting it up.
Yeah, so first day it was me, Zara, and another one of my current staff members, Erin, who works really closely in property development with Ellie currently at Hunted.
Okay.
So, it's all very connected.
It's all connected.
Yeah, so it was just the three of us, and the Brisbane office for Gough was just opening. Yeah. So, us three opened up the office, and we all had pretty much very minimal recruitment experience. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of a roll the dice.
But at that time there was no other – recruitment was still very small. So I think everyone in that space was trying to figure it out.
There wasn't
a leader in the market already established. Gough was really like pioneering in Queensland for property recruitment specialists.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah, there weren't many specialists out there. And a lot of – I remember when I was doing a lot of business development, I was going to say BD. When I was, you know, trying to find clients and that sort of thing, a lot of them just had no idea what recruitment was. So, yeah, it was definitely something that wasn't really that touched in Brisbane. So
they were still putting ads in the newspaper.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And then I'd have to clip out the ads and then you guys would chase them because I started as receptionist.
Okay.
I'd have to open the mail and clip out all the ads and you guys would call the real estate agencies.
Yeah. We're still using fax machines.
Old school.
Yeah. This is really
sometimes that's
out.
Better.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's making me feel better.
So I guess they were kind of like, I guess back then, because it wasn't such a like big thing as it probably is now, they were probably willing to take a run the dice.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I remember a lot of it was hard to sell because recruitment, I know a lot of people know it's quite expensive. And so not having much of a name in the market yet, you know, it was quite hard to sell to businesses because they had always sort of found their own staff, and it was getting a lot tighter at that point, a lot harder to find people. So, yeah.
So what was your, how long had you been in property in Canberra then? Was it like 2 years?
It was about 4 years all up. I was a little bit older than when I moved to Brisbane. So I would have been 24. Yeah, so turning 24 at the time. Yeah, so 4 years in property, and then fell into recruitment up here. Having that background, just a little bit of experience within property, it just helped so much, because going into recruitment, and even when I'm recruiting for my office now, it's either having a recruitment background, but sometimes it's actually better to get somebody that comes from the industry.
Yeah.
And they understand the roles. So when you're interviewing people, you know what questions to ask and you can relate to them, and you know what they've been through and what they're looking for and that sort of thing. So
without also having to educate them on the industry itself.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. So
I was just curious, like, having the experience that you'd had on the real estate side of things, what were you expecting when you took up a recruitment role in that industry? Like, what were you thinking it would be like, knowing that you'd had a bit of exposure to working in real estate? Did you have any kind of...
I was told very much from the start that it's sales, sales, sales. You have to sell a brand, talking about and having the knowledge of real estate is important. But it was a sales job. You have to get out there and, you know, meet people and educate them on what we do and that sort of thing. So I thought, you know, this is going to be a challenge, but you know, I was willing to do it, and I knew that, you know, the money was in it, and, you know, it's something that you can continue to grow. And yeah, I just thought, you know, coming up here fresh in a new city, that sort of thing, I thought, you know, why not give it a shot? I was very young and but to be honest, I think recruitment is one of those roles that a lot, unless you've actually been in it day to day, it's one of those jobs that people don't actually know what we do, and they don't know what it's like. Right. They think it's, you know, might be a HR sort of role where you're advising people what to do and that sort of thing. It is, there's a lot of different elements to it, and it's challenging. So, you know, a lot of people that start with us, you know, they think, you know, after their first week, they go, oh my God.
I think they think it's just going to be a fun sales job as well. Like, they don't realize how process driven we are and the steps that we do to find the best candidate.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've even seen, like, where I used to work before Channel, I worked like in the an aged care, like HQ sort of thing. And I was around like recruitment people all the time. And like, I just kind of saw how it was and some of the people you have to deal with. Like, I mean, I'm sure it's probably better in property, but like, you know, it's definitely tough. And then like, there was a position that opened up and like, someone's like, do you want to join the recruitment team? Because I kind of was the guy that like bounced around. They're like, I'm like, oh, wherever you want me, put me here. Anyway, and they asked me, I was like, I can't do that. like, I'm good with people, but I'm not like, I can't be like, I don't know.
We've had some.
It wasn't for me. It's tough.
It might
we've
be the property.
We continue to see it as well. It's one of like, I've been doing this for 13 years and there are still things that happen to me now. And I say, oh.
You're shocked. Blown away.
Blown away.
Yeah.
Well, now we want an example.
we could just jump. What's an example of what not to do, would you say?
Well, I think the hardest thing in recruitment is that we're dealing with people, and people are so unpredictable. It is just one, we can't control them. So, you know, we have our clients that we're working for, and we're being professional and doing the right thing by them.
Yep.
But the people that we're dealing with and, you know, being that middle person with, they could completely stuff us around and do things that make us look bad and it's completely out of our control. Yeah. So it's being able to control that narrative and still, you know, keep a good reputation and be professional, but still, you know, have things happen that are completely out of our control. And
I guess there's nothing you can really do about that.
That's right. I think of some funny stories.
Someone on their first day calling up saying they're sick, and then the company we placed them with, the boss checked on their Instagram and they were at the beach. I mean, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of things we've learned over the years. A story just popped into my mind where You know, a lot of the time if you're recruiting around that Christmas period,
mm.
you might have somebody starting in the fresh in the new year in January and they get invited to the Christmas party.
Mm. Yeah, right.
And I remember an instance where they invited the candidate to the Christmas party and it was on a boat. So there was a lot of alcohol involved, as most Christmas parties are.
Yeah. Badly.
And she ended up abusing one of the principal's wife on the boat and vomited over the edge, that went missing, and they ended up spending the whole night searching for her because they had a responsibility. So she never ended up starting. So sometimes now we're very cautious, like, you know, are you sure you want to introduce them with alcohol? It's probably not the greatest idea.
That is a true horror story. One of a kind. I mean, I've seen what happens at the Christmas parties, so, you know, at least everyone knows each other, you know. Going in blind, you're like, ah, that's just Susie, you know, she can't handle the drinks. Not Susie.
No, that was
just
a random name, by the way.
I'm not just dissing Susie. Oh, that was his first name. But anyway, we kind of cut you short. So we went from, we were at Goff, right?
Yeah.
And what happened there? Was it?
There was probably quite a pivotal moment in my career. It happened where I was still in my 20s. I was one of the youngest in the office. I think I was the youngest in the office. Mm. And I was presented with an opportunity to take on a regional director role.
Wow.
So that was a really big one for me because I didn't have the confidence in myself at the time. Looking back, you know, it wasn't really anything that I aspired to be.
Yeah.
You know, I was sort of just there doing my best with recruitment.
But
still
they
quite
reached
new.
Out to you and they
It was brought to me and offered to me. And, you know, it took a little while. I remember calling my mom and my best friends and just trying to figure out what to do. And, you know, everyone was like, go for it. You know, and I just remember looking back, that was a really big decision for me because, you know, I was doing well. I was cruising. I, you know, didn't really have the responsibility and I didn't really know what it would be like having the responsibility of looking after a team.
Mm.
And a quite a new business as well.
Yeah.
But I decided to, I just threw myself into it. So glad that I did because that's what really made me realize that I have a love for leading people and helping people and growing a business. And I wouldn't have known that I had that in me, I don't think, if I didn't do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think you just got to take those opportunities when they come at you. Might be scary, but.
Yeah, you know, it was very scary and, you know, there was a lot of self-doubt and everything, but, you know, throwing yourself into it, if you don't try and you might fail, you know, you're never going to get anywhere really, so.
No, but I think when they come to you, you know, that's a big, like, that's a big ego kind of, not ego.
Yeah, well, I also think that I might have been the only option.
Whatever. Young, ambitious.
But, you know, I'll take it.
She can do it. She can do it. That's awesome.
But was that through reputation? Was that through your existing connections that you'd made?
Well, it was still at Goff. It was in my office at Goff I was offered then a promotion, basically. Okay. So,
but they had kind of like a little sub kind of brand sort of, or like a sub company sort of thing?
No, they didn't actually. It was just the Brisbane office, Queensland office that Zara, Erin and I opened. And we sort of grew it to a good size, and that's where we obviously got to a point where we needed more of a leader in the office. And
that's the one for the job.
It sort of evolved. Yeah,
seize the opportunity.
Yes. So that was probably the biggest pivotal change in my career, because then I really realized, okay, I'm going to make a career out of this, and this is what I want to do. And it sort of just lifted off from there.
And how long did you stay there for, Joe?
I was with Goff for 8 years all up.
Okay.
So it was quite a long time. And the next step was from when I fell pregnant with my first child, Hallie. And I ended after I had her, I was on maternity leave. And, you know, I was due to go back and manage, you know, quite a big team of 18 salespeople, basically.
Mm. So we'd grown to 18.
Yeah, we'd grown.
It was huge.
And
you were still in this team, Ellie?
Yeah. I've followed her through all of her new companies. Yeah. Awesome. Always follow a good boss.
That is good. That is good. Especially when you got someone you can count on sort of thing as well. Like,
so when she keeps looking at me, it's like she's asking me to remember for her. Oh, yes. Yes. You, like, you were 24? Yeah.
But I've also, every time I've opened a business, I've been on the phone, Ellie, you going to come on? Yeah.
That's really I'm like,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we've followed each other.
That's awesome.
So sorry, I cut you off, but you were saying you had your first.
Yes, I had my first baby. I was due to go back to quite a large team. I had, you know, there was a lot of responsibility there. Mm. We were a very high performing team. Doing very well. I loved, our team was great. We had such a close-knit team, and, you know, sales personalities are really hard to, working together really well. But we had an incredible team at that point and a really good reputation in the market. So it was something, you know, I was sort of thinking, you know, first time mum, it's hard being a working mum.
Yeah.
And I still wanted to have the time spent with my family and, you know, be an amazing mum, but still have a career. So I really saw that going back was probably not going to give me that. I felt that, you know, I probably, you know, having somebody that was relying on me, which was my boss.
Yeah.
I saw it as an easier option to maybe see this as an opportunity to go out and do my own thing.
On your own terms. Sort of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes that people think that's a even scarier choice to go and do that because it's a lot riskier and you've just got a, you know, brand new family, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. But I really saw it as I knew that I had a very solid client base. I knew that I was going to specialize in the same sector.
Yeah.
I knew that, I don't know, I just felt like it was going to be a much more flexible option for me, but also I had been with Gough for 8 years, so I was sort of itching for that next step. That's where I went into business at Iconic Recruit. We created Iconic Recruit. It was another consultant that was at Gough, Marton.
Yeah.
And we decided to go out together and start from scratch, just the two of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did the partner, was it you?
It was me and him. So he was at Gough as well. He was more focused on retail and commercial property.
Okay, gotcha. And
then So we just decided to break away completely. So we resigned together and then created Iconic.
Wow.
Together, started pretty much from scratch. But, you know, when I say from scratch, we still obviously knew that we were recruiting in the same space.
Yeah.
So we had a client base that, you know, was very solid and, you know, we had great relationships with our clients. So I knew that, you know, starting from scratch would be my entire database would still be willing to support me through
So how does that work? So clients, so they would have been clients with Gough?
They were, yes.
They're working directly with you.
They were working directly with me.
The relationship was with you.
It worked out well for me because I had been on maternity leave for 8 months. Oh. So the restraint of trade.
There's a bit of separation.
Yeah, there was a bit of separation in between. And, you know, we didn't go out when we opened up the business. We obviously marketed that we were here and that sort of thing. And, you know, when my clients would call me, they'd call my mobile. And, you know, so it was more them figuring out where I was and then coming to me, if that makes sense. So.
I think there's a reoccurring theme because, like in our last episode with Fiona, she was saying like it's pretty much identical to what happened with you. Is she went off and did her own thing, but because she was, you know, she built up such a supportive client database or whatever, like they knew what they could expect from her and they liked what she did and stuff. So she was trusted by them, and they just kind of, it comes with. So just kind of.
That's what happens in sales. You usually want to deal with somebody that you know are going to do the right thing by you, and you've got that relationship that you know their business inside and out.
Trust.
And that can kind of mean more than being the, you know, the bigger business or like that's something like that. If people know they can rely on you, then
correct.
That's
yes.
The way to go.
Yeah, that's right. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we ended up doing that, which again was another. It was a very, you know, having a young family, and I was on a very comfortable remuneration package that I'd be walking back into, you know, having that structure there, you know, it could have been easily, you know, it could have easily been quite an easy option for me to do at the time. But just knowing that I did want my own flexibility and, yeah, you know, something for myself and a little bit of progression and that sort of thing. Yeah, decided to do it. And, yeah, it was a strong 3.5 years that we had. Okay. We ran Iconic Recruit with my business partner. Our first employee was Ellie.
Yeah.
Nice,
me.
Nice.
Again.
She's the first one. She's like, let's go. Let's run it.
Yeah. Why did you decide to come and join us?
I think it was at the time when the leaders of GOF had left, there was a shift in the dynamic of the team culture. And I remember thinking, I've been here for 5 years and I just felt like, and to my point before, you do always follow a good boss. Mm. I was craving that management style again. So, yeah, bring. Hello, Jess.
Let's go.
And there's something exciting, I think, as well, you know, boutique businesses, you know, speaking to so many people that have worked in big corporate organizations and that sort of thing, and then, you know, there's a big difference between the two, and you know, some people love that and some people love the smaller, you know, boutiqueness and just the excitement of, you know, I think it was quite exciting for you to, you know, you saw us really from the start building something for ourselves, and that probably was quite motivating.
Well, I think that's what it is with those boutique kind of businesses, because we're kind of like that as well, and I've worked in like bigger businesses, but you're definitely more tight-knit when it's a kind of, you know, more maybe like a smaller team sort of thing, or kind of those kind of
totally
things. So
there's more flexibility, there's more you know, you've got, you can have a bit more of an imagination, and you know,
that's it. And it just kind of makes work more enjoyable as a whole, really, than
totally
going like the boss is like, oh,
exactly.
Sort
of you can, you have more staff, have more of a say sometimes as well.
Which everyone likes, you know.
But at the same time, you feel every bump in the road, right?
That's right.
Yeah. There's no buffer there. You're at the coalface day in, day
out. Really, that's a very honest.
There's no top of the pyramid that kind of does it all for you. And and you're just like, eh, whatever.
Yeah. And that's why you need, it's very important to have the right people in a small business.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's otherwise you stick out like a sore thumb.
So, can I just ask, so when you set out, and I think we touched on a little bit earlier, but what did you intend for your point of difference to be when?
Yeah, I think that I've always loved giving and creating something amazing for other people to enjoy as well. And I think it was a really big thing for me to have a place where people can come to work, love what they do, you know, still have the flexibility. That was probably one piece that, getting to quite a big team at GOF, we didn't really, that it was very regimented in hours and KPIs and, you know, that sort of thing.
And that was pre-COVID as well, where work from home did not exist whatsoever. Like Monday to Friday, the hours were the hours. There was just no flexibility.
Yeah, it just wasn't even looked at.
No.
Yeah, so I really wanted to, I knew that I could do this role, you know, still having the flexibility of, you know, being there for my kids and, you know, still spending time with friends and, you know, still coming to work and, you know, if you love what you do.
Having a life.
I thought that was very important, and I saw that lacking prior. So that's what I really wanted to create at Hunted. And, yeah, I think that that's probably why a lot of people, you know, we haven't really had a resignation in the last 12 months.
No.
You know, it's just, I think it's really important having a small business to have the right people and giving them, making sure that they're happy and, you know, remunerating them correctly and making them feel like they're really part of it and they've got that right flexibility. And I know that that's hard because some people do take the piss and, but that's where you coming into finding the right people, I think, comes into it. So
And how big is your team at the moment? Is it 7?
We've got 8 now.
8.
Yeah.
Nice. And how big was it at Iconic?
Iconic, we got to 7 at one point. That was probably
the biggest.
Yeah.
So both real like team sort of thing. That's kind of what
you get
out of it. When it's like 18 people, like it was at GOF or something, it kind of feels like there's like, oh, this kind of sector, this kind of sector.
Yeah, probably. It did get to that point. And, you know, hopefully we will get to that point at some stage.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that it's we've made a few little tweaks along the way that, you know, has felt a bit more me and what I wanted to give back to people in my team and that sort of thing.
And so, clearly it's working. So everyone's happy.
Just an interesting observation, like, you know, in answer to the question around what did you set out for your point of difference to be, you've gone straight to the people side of your business, not to what your external point of difference was in terms of your client base, which is really probably quite telling, right?
She's halving you up.
It's really cool.
Well, I think, you know, that all comes into it as well. When you have the right people and then, you know, they are really good at what they do, it then flows out to the market and they're doing the right thing by their clients and that sort of thing. So, I think it's important to have the right people and happy people.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Well, now that we got to that, I think we can kind of jump over to Ellie and let Ellie talk a little bit more, because we kind of want to know a bit more. Let's kind of get some advice for the young professionals that you guys are dealing with, like what's the do's, what's the don'ts, and a little bit about that sort of.
Yeah, of course. So I guess there's two different sort of schools of camp. There's one, the young professionals, property grads looking to get in. And then there's people that may be a little bit more mature that have been a teacher or whatever they may be looking to enter into the property industry. I think advice for both camps is, this is just to anyone that's wanting, that a friend of mine could come and ask for like advice on their career. But I always say having the best, most thorough and up-to-date LinkedIn profile is my biggest key takeaway.
You were telling me a bit about this. Like, yeah. This is the new wave.
Yeah. So for us as recruiters, and this is why a lot of people don't understand what we do, how we source candidates is that there's a lot of headhunting. And so the biggest almost all of, like, out of 10 roles, say 10 placements that I've made with my clients, I would have sourced 8 of them through headhunting through LinkedIn. So always suggesting to people to make sure that their LinkedIn profile is effectively like an online CV, making sure you've got a professional photograph, not a selfie in the bathroom. You know, you'd be surprised what people put up there or on their CVs. Like ensuring that it's more than just where you have worked at previously, and just the years, really detailing a bit more about the company you worked with and actually specifically what you were doing. And the reason why I say that is because in the back end of LinkedIn, there's a recruiter function. And so if a client comes to me and says, Ellie, I want you to get me someone that has 10 of these key requirements, this software system, this background, those that have filled in as much on their LinkedIn page, like software experience, you know, they might've been working in commercial property development or whatever, or even if they're a property grad, just filling in like that they've done team sports. It's interesting that I'll have to search for these specific things through the back end of recruiter. Like the sporting, a lot of people, like if they're a property grad, they're like, why would I need to put that I played rugby? And one of my clients specifically requested that because it shows that they're a team player. So it's just the more you can put on your LinkedIn that's directly relevant and extracurricular activities is all beneficial. It's going to get you to the top of the search function effectively.
And I guess the people that would be kind of looking for those sort of things are probably the people that you want to go to, where it's not, they're not just looking for, oh, yeah, he's got that degree. Blah, blah, blah. Because end of the day, experience, like out of business experience, like life experience means a lot more, I think, in a lot more situations. So that kind of, those are the people you want to work for, I reckon.
Yeah, agreed to a degree. But say if someone wants to get into the property or construction industry, as a minimum, we get a lot of people that may have done a like arts degree and they say, oh, I've done a degree, I can be a development manager. And I'm like, just because you've put a retaining wall in your backyard doesn't mean you can build a high-rise tower. So I always say as well, if you want to get into the industry, absolutely. Like it's the first thing, Stockland, if I get a role for them or a listed property company, if they don't have a degree that's construction management, property economics, they're not even going to consider you.
No, there's a lot of people that think they can fake it till they make it, but I don't think it really works like that.
Unless it's a sales role. Where you can fake it till you make it, and you've got that right vibe, but everything else, you really need that technical background first.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And are there any trends emerging in the property industry when it comes to different types of roles or anything like that that employers are looking for?
I guess what we're seeing at the moment in the, honestly, so having done property development recruitment for the last 9 years, we didn't have as many opportunities up here as say like Sydney and Melbourne. And now that Queensland has become more affordable in comparison to those states, we also had more reduced COVID laws, restrictions. We're seeing a lot of interstate people moving up here, so migration is high. Okay. We have a lot of investment in Queensland, Queens Wharf, a lot of infrastructure, Cross River Rail. Mm-hmm. So property development in Queensland is at an all-time high. I've had the most amount of roles and the most amount of success in my role in the last 2 years than ever. So I don't really see there being – there's a lot of doom and gloom in the market saying, oh, it's going to be a downturn, interest rates, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, with the Olympics coming up, these property developers still need to build. Yeah. We still need infrastructure. So job and recruitment is still happening. So I think that the property development space, if someone's looking, some people are a bit gun shy about moving, but you shouldn't. Or getting into the space, it's going to be a hot space. So don't be risk adverse with what's in the media. You know, I think still jump at opportunities because there's a lot going on, a lot of roles.
And any particular roles that have sort of popped up that you've noticed that have come to the fore more recently or new types of roles or like?
Yeah, so it all roles I tend to see in waves because like say – it's a time where it's a good opportunity for developers to buy land. So we then tend to see a lot of acquisitions manager roles. And then once they acquire the sites, you then see a trend like a year down the track that they may need, you know, a construction manager because they're going to go into the delivery of the site or whatever. It's sort of cyclical, all the roles. Right now I'm seeing a lot of development manager opportunities. So I just think that's as a result of clients having bought during COVID when there was a lot of sites to be purchased and now they need the people to deliver them.
Yeah. That's really, really interesting insight.
But always need good salespeople, always needing.
Everyone does. Yeah.
So if you ever get a great salesperson, we're like, get them out the door, send them to everyone.
Can I jump in with a question that I've been. Do you find that there's do you think that there's anything unique in particular? What kind of, maybe it's on the list of questions, but what kind of traits or characteristics do you think makes someone a good fit for the property industry? What do you kind of look? And I'd be really interested to know, you know, what are a couple of your favorite questions when you're interviewing?
Do you know the candidates that I just know are going to be successful and I meet them as property grads, ones that are fully immersed? Because typically when someone wants to enter into the property industry and say they're a property grad and they come to me and they're like, I don't know what I want to do. And then I'll say, well, who are the companies that you're interested in? And they're like, I don't know. And they've done their degree and they've got that education, but they've not fully started to, you know, follow the urban developer or Brisbane development, start to know who's who in the zoo. Just doing that, like consuming their lives. They don't just consume their lives with it, but you know what I mean? Like have a genuine passion for it.
Yeah, like your own due diligence.
Totally. Sort of. And they'll come to me and they're like, I love what Stockland's doing in, you know, build to rent or whatever it may be. And they say, okay, I want you to put me forward for a commercial. I just know that that person is really driven. They're passionate about the industry.
It's a passion, I think.
Yeah. I just know, like, for example, I had an assistant development manager role is the most highly sought after role in the property development industry. If I have a job for an ADM, I think if we were to pop this seek ad up, we would get hundreds and hundreds of applications. Mm-hmm. How many of those are actually, you know, relevant remains to be seen. But when someone comes to me and then, you know, they're passionate, they may not have that direct experience for it because usually it's a role where someone can come from a little bit left of center, like town planning or architecture. But they say, you know, I'm suitable for the role for X, Y, Z. I've prepared a cover letter. I'm going to the interview. I've prepared information about their sites. I went out to site. I had a look at what they were developing. Like, they've just gone the extra mile. Clients are like, that's the person.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've done the research. They've actually looked them up on Google, you know. I think research is the biggest tip that I always give for candidates when going for interview. And when I'm interviewing them, just seeing how much they've researched about the industry itself always makes them stand out.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important for people entering the industry to actually go through a specialist recruiter to be able to get that right advice on what they look for and, you know, give them, they might have done their own research, but we're able to actually give them that extra bit of research that they might not be able to find or not know where to find, you know, and just the guidance, being able to, you know, help them with interview questions, help them with, you know, where to go and
what to wear.
Wear, that's a big one.
Well, that kind of answered my last question. I was going to say what benefits can candidates, entry level or not, coming to you guys get from Hunted to utilize your services, sort of thing. I guess that kind of is it, really, right?
So and it's going to the right person as well. Obviously, we've been doing this for a long time. We've built relationships with certain line managers and, you know, the right people, the decision makers within these businesses. And, you know, we've had meetings with them. We know what exactly they're looking for and what they're not looking for. So us being able to really guide them through that process and make sure they're saying the right things and doing the right things.
We can be an advocate for them, because I think sometimes, you know, you apply through Seek and the job at your application then goes to the receptionist who filters it out before it even gets to the line manager. We send direct to the line manager and say they go for interview and say there's a bit of a tough conversation about salary. If you were managing and negotiating that as a property grad, it might be a very uncomfortable decision. It might be a bit tricky, but we can be the middle person to advocate for you for the salary and, you know, so you're not the bad guy, so to speak, or in an uncomfortable position where you've not had experience negotiating certain things.
I guess you guys are kind of like the more even extreme version, because what I always like, I don't even know if I've ever had a job that hasn't come through like someone else, like them kind of referring me, sort of thing.
Like a friend or a recruiter, you mean?
Oh, no, like friends or family someone like that. Just someone that can kind of like, they go, oh, this person's looking for this, or like, you know.
Connect you.
Yeah, connect me through. Like, I feel like the Seek is a bit, you know, like sometimes, I'm sure it works for some people, but I think it's more about the people, you know. So whereas like you guys are like even more the extreme version of someone just kind of going, oh, here's this person, they need that sort of thing. You can like help them through and like advocate for them and, you know.
And once we meet with someone, like I must have a never-ending memory, because I may have met with someone 8 years ago and I think I'll go get a job brief from a client and I've just followed their trajectory, say on LinkedIn, and they've kept it up to date. I'm like, that person would be perfect for the job. So, you know, even if you meet with us once, we still help you throughout your career. If we can't place you in a job, we'll still touch base with you in a year's time if we've got still a perfect role for you.
Yeah,
it's not just like meeting you at that time and then bye. You know, clients come to us because our database is, you know, the sum of our years of experience.
So you could say that making the move to approach yourselves as a recruiter is basically an investment in your own career.
Yes.
You know, that pays off over the longer term if you play your cards right.
There's so many roles that we have that aren't advertised, you know. There's a lot of, if you don't go to a recruiter, you're not really giving yourself the best opportunity to look at what's out there. So that's a really big one, I think. So
And how does someone do that? Do they just ring you cold, or like,
we ring them?
Ringing
them.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it's just, it's just having that relationship there where, you know, we know what is happening all the time within someone's business. And it's like knowing all the goss all the time, isn't it?
We know all the goss. But I think with how they may apply on a Seek ad, they may reach out through LinkedIn. That's a lot.
To you guys?
Yeah. So someone will message me. I've connected with them. And they're like, hey, I saw you've posted a marketing development manager job. you know, can I come and have a chat to you? A lot of referrals, even clients refer people that weren't suitable for that role. They may have put up an ad themselves, but they say, oh, this other person that was second in line was amazing.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And that's the relationship we have with our clients.
You know. A lot of them become your friends, really.
Yes.
When you've been in it for this long, it's just sort of like, hey, how you going?
Yeah. Jess is a therapist to many of them.
Yes. So are you.
Come sit on the couch.
Yeah.
Have a chat.
Yeah.
You've got a nice couch too, by the way.
Yeah.
Your office.
Nice office. That's cool. That is really cool. So, well, any big plans? Just to wrap it up, do you guys have anything, like, I don't know, any big plans for Hunter or anything?
I mean, we want to continue growing and, you know, continue getting better and better. And, you know, I think that's one thing about our team that really sets us apart is the experience we have is enormous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we continue to get better year on year. And so we want to continue that on and, continue to grow, but gradually.
Take over the world.
World domination. And so what regions do you service?
So Queensland, we have some clients that are national as well, and they might call us and say, will you, you know, focus on a role down. Mm-hmm. It's probably more in property, if anything.
Mm.
However, I'm a very strong believer that to be a specialist, it's like if you relate it back to a real estate agent, for instance, you know, the best ones that you see are specialists within a particular suburb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know everything, the ins and outs, and they're an absolute expert, and that is the best person that's going to get the best price for your home. So, you know, I think it's really important for us as consultants, and that's why each of our consultants specialize in different areas within property. And, you know, we don't want to, you know, not to say we might not open in different states down the track, but you know, we really want to focus in on Queensland and we don't want to spread ourselves too sparse.
Which is, I mean, probably better when you have a smaller team, right? As well.
Exactly. So,
cool. Do you have anything else to add? I think that's kind of where can everyone do you guys socials? You want to plug your socials, anything like
we've
that?
We've got it all.
LinkedIn,
Twitter,
Instagram.
Whatever.
We don't have Twitter.
Don't have Twitter. I don't use Twitter.
We've got Instagram. Yeah. We've got
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. We don't really have Facebook.
No.
Who uses Facebook these days?
No.
It's
done.
It's phasing out.
Was there anything else you wanted to
Instagram, LinkedIn.
Yeah, nice. Mm. Cool. Yeah. If anyone wants to reach out to you, just like go
send
on your
us
page,
your CVs.
Go on your email.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, congratulations on your success.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This was fun. You're taking amazing leaps. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you, guys.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Well, do I have to plug anything? I don't know. Can't remember how I close it out.
Peace.
That's a wrap. Just join us next time for the next episode. Peace out.
Bye, guys.
Bye.